To God be the glory for the great things our God has done. If you're grateful for grace, will you show God how grateful you are for unmerited favor? Unmerited favor. I don't deserve it, but God sees me through the eyes of Jesus. And today I'm grateful for his grace. To the eminent and esteemed pastor of this church, the one whom we honor this weekend, this month, the Reverend Dr. Howard John Wesley. For one decade, God has blessed him to bless this people known as Alfred Street Church. And to God be the glory for this decade of service, this decade of commitment, this decade of pastor and people. Happy anniversary, sir. And praise God for this moment in time. And we pray, God, that he will give to you, grant to you, many more years to serve in this branch of Zion known as the Alfred Street Church. If you agree with that prayer request, let the church say amen. 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 To all of the leadership and membership of this church, God bless you. I hope you know Pastor Wesley, and I hope you know Alfred Street, just how much we love your pastor. Your pastor has been a blessing to us. I've been at the Wheeler Avenue Church for 20 years now, and every year of those 20 years, he has come to preach the word of God to us, and he has blessed us in a mighty way, and I'm grateful for him and for the wonderful way by which he proclaims the word of God to us. I have the privilege of preaching with him in revivals across this country, and it's just a joy to sit under the ministry that God has given to this man. He is an anointed and an awesome and an amazing man of God. I don't say that because he's my friend. I say that because it's just the truth. And I honor you today, sir. God bless you and happy anniversary. Our church has already given him a gift. He took it and wouldn't return it so I could represent it. He didn't trust me to take it back and give it to him. But just wanted you to know, Alfred Street, that we join you in granting gifts to your pastor to wish him a very happy anniversary on this decade of service. You've seen our choir, and I'm grateful for the music ministry under the leadership of Brother Leon Lewis. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. We're so grateful for all of these singers, all of these musicians, all of these who have come to be with us this weekend. Amen. God bless you. But we're also grateful for all the other ministry leaders and servants who have come. Our ushers are here and their leadership. Our sign language ministry is here and they served in the last service. We've got a bunch of preachers and deacons and trustees and deaconesses. There's a whole bunch of everybody. There is absolutely no one at Wheeler Avenue Baptist Church today. It just is what it is. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful that more than 400 people came with us this weekend to share in this celebration. Amen. And so we honor you, sir, and we are grateful for the privilege. Let me get into the word of God. I know that we've already gone beyond the usual time of this service, so I'm only going to preach for about 2 hours, and then I'll let you go, and we'll be out of here together. No, give me about 22 minutes, just about 22 minutes, and we'll be out of your way. I've mentioned to the earlier services that our church has been in a season of focusing on vision. Our God has given a vision for our church just as he's given a vision for this church. And over these last couple of services, I've sought to address this business of vision. And for this final service, permit me to pay one more installment on this idea of vision. If you're able to stand, I invite you to stand as we look at the word of God in the gospel as recorded by the writer Mark at chapter 8. The New Testament gospel as recorded by the writer Mark at chapter 8. And I invite your attention to all 25 of the first verses. Verses 1 through 25 will kind of constitute what we want to deal with today. But just for the time of that is ours to share together in this preaching purpose, I want to look at verse 25, Mark chapter 8, verse 25. And if you have that passage of scripture, the New International Version translates that Greek New Testament like this. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then his eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. That's enough. Amen. Praise God for his holy word. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. His eyes were opened. His sight was restored, and he saw everything clearly. The first service, we talked from the subject tunnel vision. The second service, we sought to talk from the subject blurred vision. This service, I want to talk from the subject progressive vision. Progressive vision. Deacon Wallace, I'm consumed with the reality that the God whom we serve has never called us to be stagnant and stymied and stanched in our relationship with God. But this God of ours is always calling us and causing us to move forward. The God whom we serve is never satisfied with us just being satisfied. But God is always calling us and causing us to move to places that we may not be able to understand right now and to do things that seemingly are beyond our ability to accomplish. That God is still able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so this God of ours is always pulling us, stretching us, moving us to places and to moments and to experiences that we would never even begin to imagine were we the ones in complete control of our lives. That God is always up to something. That God is always doing something. That God expects of us to be people who will do as he commands and that we'll move whenever God says move. That we are willing to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus. That all of us should be able to move as God tells us to move and to do as God tells us to do and to go as God tells us to go. Only problem is sometimes because we are so inclined to do things our own way and have things our own way, we retard the progress and productivity that could be our reality because we're stuck, stymied, stanched, and stagnant, and think that we know better than God. And so as a consequence, every now and then God has to give us a reality check to let us know and remember afresh that God is the superior and we are the subordinate, that God is in complete control and it is our responsibility to simply say, yes, Lord. Now there should have been two or three amens right there, because all of us who understand relationship with God understand that if God is in control, we don't have options as to whether or not we're going to do what God says. If we choose an option of disobeying God, we retard our progress. And Jesus wants to know what's really going on with you. Have I not done enough for you already for you to simply say, yes, Lord? That's the question for us today. For those of us who've gotten satisfied with where we are and have gotten comfortable with what we've become, and God is still calling us, causing us to move forward and to go farther, the call of God today is, can you keep on moving even when you don't see exactly where you're going? I submit today that every now and then the Lord has a vision for our lives that is different from the vision that we have for our lives, and although we get satisfied and comfortable, the Lord is saying, I'm not yet done with you. I'm pulling you, pressing you, pushing you to a place that is not yet the place you occupy. Now, church family, I want to wrestle here for just about 32 more seconds, because I want somebody in church to understand that even you, my sister, even you, my brother, are not yet at the place where the Lord wants you to be. I'll let that settle in and get around the room. Yes, and even with all of your years of Christian experience, even though you've been a member of Alvin Street for 69 and a half years, even though you've been saved and sanctified for 57 and three quarter years, God is not yet done with you. As long as there's breath in your body, God is causing you, calling you to move forward, to make progress, to keep on keeping on. Is there a witness in church today? today who understands that God is always moving us to another level, calling us to a greater experience. He said to those disciples who were around the Lake of Gennesaret, listen, I want you to launch out into the deep and let your net down for a big catch. I want to show you that I'm able to do far more than you've ever seen me do in your entire life. I want to prove to you that there is nothing too hard for your God. I want to show you that if you trust in me, I'll open your eyes to new experiences, new possibilities. I want to show you what eyes have not seen and what ears have not heard and what it hasn't even entered into the hearts of men and women, the things that God has in store for those who love him. So, church family, as I approach Mark chapter 8 today, it seems to me that the Lord Jesus is trying to discipline his disciples. There you go. He's trying to discipline his disciples to understand destiny. There it is. Let me see if I can give it to you again. He's trying to discipline his disciples to understand destiny. I'm not done with your development, men. I still got something I want to do for you. These men have been out there with the Lord Jesus for an extended period of time now. They have been in ministry with him for the last 3 days. When you read the first part of chapter 8, you'll find out Jesus is coming to the end of a 3-day ministry experience. He's had a 3-day revival service, and after revival service, he is saying to his disciples, I can't send this crowd away just yet because I've got compassion on them. They've been out here with me all this time, and before they leave, I need to feed them. You've got to understand, Jesus is a quintessential churchman. He's the quintessential clergy person. He understands that after you have church, there's only one thing left to do. You must understand that if you're a good church person, you understand that we greet, meet, and then eat. Is there anybody in this church who understands that when you leave here this afternoon, the first thing you're going to do is make your way to some space where you can sit down and break bread? I told the sisters who had been working upstairs before I came into the sanctuary, I said, listen, I'm going to preach real short because I was smelling all the food that they had cooked up there, and I'm making my way. I'm already halfway done with the message because I remember what I smell walking down here into this sanctuary because I'm ready to eat. Let the church say eat. And so that's what Jesus does. Jesus says, I want these people to have some food. And so he begins to make inquiry of the disciples. How much food do you have? As a matter of fact, the disciples are saying, Jesus, we don't have enough to feed all of these people. According to the text, there are about 4,000 people out there. He says, Jesus, we don't have enough food to feed these folk. We're in a remote wilderness location. So how about you just send the people away and they'll find food on the way home? Jesus said, hold up, wait a minute. You don't know how I roll. That's not how I operate. I've got compassion on them. I don't just want to give them spiritual food. I'm concerned about everybody's situation. I want to give them natural food as well. And so he says, I want to feed them. And he says, how much food do you have? And the disciples say, we've got 7 loaves of bread in our hand. Wait a minute. Don't move too fast past that, because I submit and suggest this afternoon that sometimes the Lord calls you to help yourself understand that the mold of your deliverance is already in your hands. Okay, you missed it. It went straight over the top. Somebody was looking, but you weren't listening. Sometimes what God wants to do through you is already a part of you. He just wants to know, can you trust him enough to yield to him what you already have so he can exponentially bless it and show you there's nothing too hard for your God. He says, how many loaves do you have? They said, we have 7 loaves. He said, make the people sit down. And here he gives to them what I call, watch this, another demonstration of provision. There it is. He's trying to clear up their vision of who he is and what he's able to do. He gives them another demonstration of provision. Watch what he does. He takes the loaves. He blesses them. He lifts them up. He gives thanks for them. He blesses them. He gives them to the disciples, and he tells the disciples to give it to all the 4,000 people who are sitting around. And your Bible says that when they have finished distributing the the loaves and the fish that accompanied the loaves. Your Bible says that now 4,000 people have eaten and they have 12 basketfuls left over as a testimony of what the Lord has done. Now you just missed a good spot to say amen, because whenever the Lord does something for you that you couldn't do for yourself, whenever the Lord takes from your hand and exponentially multiplies it so it can be a blessing not just to you but to somebody else, that's reason to rejoice. He took those loaves, blessed them, broke them, gave them to the disciples. The disciples gave them to the 4,000, and after they had eaten the fish and the bread, they had 12 basketfuls left over. Church family, is there anybody beside Marcus D. Cosby who can testify? As I look back over my life, I have seen how God has exponentially blessed my life with things I never even imagined, things I never even thought possible. I need 10 or 12 more believers in here who can encourage your pew partner. Be not dismayed whatever betide, because God will take care of you. Is there anybody knows him to be a provider? Anybody knows he'll take your resources and exponentially expand them, stretch them, so that when you look back over your life, all you can say is, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side, I don't know where I would be. He takes those loaves, he blesses them, and the Bible says he has now fed 4,000 people. They've got testimonies of fish sandwiches left over. They've got so much that 12 basketfuls of fish and bread are left over as a testimony. And then Jesus decides to get into a boat and cross over to another side of the water. And while they're going, the Bible says that the disciples enter into a conversation about how many loaves they have left over. Wait, they are now talking about how many loaves they have left over. They only have one loaf of bread in the boat. Now, they were 12 basketfuls that they left on the seashore, and now they're thinking that Jesus is going to get upset with them because they only have one loaf of bread left. And Jesus says, watch this, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. Yeah, that's scratching your head. You trying to figure out what did Jesus mean too. Out of nowhere, he just starts saying, beware of the yeast of the Pharisees and of Herod. Jesus is literally suggesting you got to be real careful of the influence of those who don't have a relationship with God, wreaking havoc in your own life and making it seem like just because they don't believe that you ought not believe. He said, be real careful hanging out with people who don't have a confidence in me to work things out for their good, and you allow the influence of negative people to get into your spirit, because that yeast will grow and you'll be a faithless follower. And Jesus is interested in those who have enough faith to believe there is nothing too hard for our God. Now, church family, I mentioned to you that this is another demonstration of provision. Why did I say that? Because this is not the first time that the Lord Jesus has taken some bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it away to multitudes. You do remember that there was a season, I don't know if y'all ever heard about this, where he fed the 5,000. Come on, Alfred Street should have at least said amen right there. There was a time when the Lord fed 5,000 with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And if he has done it before, they ought to know he's able to do it again. This is just another demonstration of the provision of the Lord. God, deliver us from those of us who feel as if just become we come to a hurdle in our lives, that God is not able to get us over the hurdles we currently face. All you need to do is take a flashback of how the Lord has already made a way, how the Lord has already opened doors, and it will bless your socks off to believe that if he did it before, he can do it again. Same God right now, same God. I need 10 people on every row to just begin to testify. I can look back over my life and see how God has made ways over and over again. I refuse to listen to people who don't have a relationship with God trying to tell me what God won't do, because I already got too much proof of what he's already done. I just need him to do it again. I don't know if there's anybody in church today who needs the Lord to do something over again. But as we close out September and make our way into October, somebody's concerned as to whether or not you're going to be able to meet your first of the month expenses. I just need you to look back over the last 9 months of 2018 and say, Lord, do it again. Somebody in here has been sick before, and you need to know that God is still a healer. I need folk who've been healed to just wave your hand at me. If God has healed them, he's still able to heal you. Somebody just needs to ask the Lord, do it again. I'm talking about another demonstration of God's provision. I love that word provision. It means that God looks ahead. He sees before, and he already knows what we're going to need before we need it, and he goes ahead of us to supply our every need. He says, listen, don't get so caught up in disbelief, listening to people, influenced by people who don't have a confidence in me, and they don't understand what he's saying. And so now Jesus has to give to them what I call an examination for revelation. Woo. An examination for revelation. Watch the movements of the text. He moves from another demonstration of provision to an examination for revelation. Watch what Jesus does. He begins to make inquiry of them. If your Bible is open, if your app is still unlocked, you'll find out that beginning in verse 17, the Lord Jesus starts making inquiry of these disciples. Listen to what he says. He says, because he was aware of their discussion, why are you talking about having no bread? Do you still not see or understand? Are your hearts hardened? That's a spiritual way of saying, why are you so slow? Do you not yet get it? Do you have eyes but fail to see, and ears but fail to hear? And don't you remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? 12, they replied. And when I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000 just a few minutes ago, how many basketfuls of pieces did you pick up? They answered 7. He said to them, do you still not understand? Do you still not get it? What do I need to do for me to prove who I am and how I'm able to supply your need? How much more do you need to see? How many more thousands of people do I need to feed and service through you before you know that I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think? How many more times do I need to give peace in the midst of your storm? How many more times do I need to be shelter over your head and food on your table? How many more times do I need to show? Now I know that we can easily come down harshly on the disciples and say after 3 years, this is the 3rd year of Jesus' ministry, after 3 years, they still don't get it. But let's just be honest today. There's some folk here at the Alfred Avenue Baptist Church who can testify that there have been some seasons in our own lives where we didn't quite get it. I mean, you've been saved all these years and you still get nervous when something shows up in your life. And you don't know if God's gonna work that thing out for you or not. And you can look back over a track record of the many things that God has already done, and you still don't understand. Is there a witness in here today who can testify? I'll be honest, I've had some moments where the Lord had to examine me, and I found myself coming up short, but I came to church today to hear this preacher tell me, be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will, did I tell you that already? He will take care of you. Every now and then, church family, the Lord has to challenge us, doesn't he? The Lord has to chide us and ask us, just like he asked those disciples, do you still not understand? Do you still not get it? That I can make a way out of no way. Do you still not get it? That I can be a bridge over troubled water. I love the way those old saints just came up with all those wonderful things about God. We may have thought that they were less than educated, but they had some wisdom on the inside of them that allowed them to say some things for us that we still say to this day. And there are some people in this room right now, you don't know who came up with Bridge Over Troubled Water, but as you look over some of the trouble spots in your life, you know it was nobody but the Lord who got you over. Can I find 10 people in here who say, I can't take take the credit for where I am right now. I like this season of my life, but I didn't get here by myself. If it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. He has to give them an examination for revelation. He wants the scales to fall from their eyes. We mentioned in the earlier services that a vision from God, watch this, is a clearly articulated, clearly communicated word from the Lord, a revelation that allows you to have your will in alignment with God's will so you can experience the blessings that God has for our lives. Well, watch this. When those guys finish getting this examination, they finally pull into a place called Bethsaida. And when they get to Bethsaida, your Bible says that folk from that village bring a blind man to Jesus. I'm almost done. And when they bring that blind man to Jesus, they ask Jesus to restore his sight. Now, they ask him to restore his sight. Now, that already lets you know that this man has seen before. But something along the journey of his life has robbed him, stripped him of what he once had. And now they want the Lord to restore to him what he once had as sight. The Lord takes him a few steps away. He spits on his eyes. Have mercy, Lord. Certain processes of miracles I can do without. He spits on his eyes. And then when he spits on his eyes, he cleanses the man, touches him, and asks him, what do you see? Watch his response. I see people who look like trees walking around. He says, I see people who look like trees walking around. And so the Bible says that the Lord lays his hands on him again. That's what I read to you in verse 25. Once more, the Lord laid his hands on him, and his sight was restored, and he began to see. What do you see now? I see everything as clearly as I should. May I suggest in the final place of this little message that there will be some seasons where the reality of our lives is not perfection, but progression. I submit that you and I, brothers and sisters, have to learn that God has not called us to perfection. God, will you help me preach? But he has called us to progression. And I think I got 10 or 12 witnesses on every row today who can testify that you're so grateful that God has not called you to be perfect, but he has called you to make progress. Now, that ought to take the weight off of some folk you expecting to be perfect. That ought to take the weight off of you because other folk are expecting you to be perfect. Doesn't matter what other folks' expectations are. I came to remind you that the Lord's expectation is not perfection, it's progression. What are you talking about, Cosby? He laid his hands on him at first and said, what do you see? I see people looking like trees walking. Now, we would say that's an impaired look. But if you remember where he came from, because when Jesus first met him, he couldn't see anything at all. Then Jesus laid his hands on him, and he may not see everything he needs to see, but somebody in here ought to be able to testify he's made some progress. I need 10 or 12 people at the Alfred Avenue Church to help me preach now. Is there anybody in here who can say, man, I'm so glad you said that because now you're reading my biography? Is there anybody who can testify? I am not perfect, but I'm so glad the Lord laid his hands on me because I'm making some progress. Glory to God. Glory to God. Now, church, this is good. That's real good. Because every now and then, we ought to pause and celebrate progress. Okay, you missed it. That should have been 100% class participation. There were 5 people on every row who clapped their hands. Others looking at me like, huh? Okay, let me give it to you again. I said every now and then, you and I ought to pause in the middle of our life's journey and thank God that as we look back over our shoulders, We can't help but testify we made some progress. Whoa. Is there a witness in the Wheeler Avenue, Alfred Street congregation today who can testify that my life's journey has been filled with progressive steps, that God keeps moving me along, that God keeps inching me along? I haven't gotten to where I need to be yet, but I'm so glad I'm making progress. And the good news is we've got a Savior who loves us so much that even if we're not at perfection yet, he's willing to lay his hands on us again and give us another touch. You want to know why feet folk keep coming into Alfred Street Baptist Church every Sunday? Because we understand we ain't perfect, but we need some progress. And every time your pastor stands up to preach, you get to hear a word from the Lord that's going to help you be better next week than you were last week. You get some help to be better in October than you were in September. Can I find some people in this church today who know it makes no sense to come and sit in the sanctuary every Sunday if you're going to stay the same way you've always been? I need somebody in the building today to begin to testify. After hearing all this preaching and hearing all this singing, I refuse to go back the same way I came. I believe some progress ought to be made. Is there anybody in here who can testify? If you had seen me back in the day, you wouldn't believe I show up at church in 2018. If you knew my whole story, you wouldn't believe I got this Bible in my lap or an app on my phone. If you knew me back in the day, you wouldn't believe they let me serve in the choir. Let me believe where they let me serve on the deacon board. You wouldn't believe they let me preach in the pulpit. But thanks be unto God, that last time was not the last time he laid his hands on me. He put his hands on me again, and now I'm making progress. Is there anybody in here who can testify I'm making some progress in this thing called life? Now, wait a minute. Anybody who has seen me show up here for the last 11 years, you know that every time I come here from the installation all the way to this 10th anniversary, you know you've always seen me with glasses on my face. I don't see very well. I don't have very good vision. And every now and then I gotta go to the optometrist. And I've noticed that since the last time I came here, now your pastor is wearing glasses. Because he recognizes that the brother man's getting a little older right through here. And somebody can testify, the longer you live, the more dim your eyes get. The longer you live, the slower your steps become. The longer you live, the slower you got to get out the bed. Sometimes you just wake up and sit there for a while. Then you put one leg out the bed and tell the Lord thank you. Then you put another leg out the bed. Lord, I sure do appreciate it. Then you sit there for a minute. Then you push yourself up. Come on and help me preach if you don't mind. So I don't see very well. I'm not one who sees very well. I got to have glasses to help me. Every now and then I go to the optometrist's office, and the optometrist has all this equipment in the office, and she tells me during the examination, look into this device. And everybody who's ever gone, you know you look into this device that has been preset. And when you look into the device, you already cannot see as well as you would like to see. And the optometrist already knows that you can't see everything on there. And she asks you, what do you see? Can you read line 1, 2, and 3? Now, you know good and well I can't read lines 2 and 3 because you set that thing in a space where you knew I wouldn't be able to see. The only thing I can see is that big old E at the top of the line. And it ain't because I can read it. I just remember it from the last time because the E is always at the top of the line. I say E just to act like I know what I'm doing. And then she says, well, can you see anything now? I said, I can't see lines 2 and 3. And the good news about the optometrist is she already knows what you can't see. She just asks you to see how honest you'll be. And may I submit that all of us in the room today who've been trying to fake it like we the best saints since sliced bread ought to go ahead and be honest with somebody and testify, I don't love like I need to love. I don't act like I need to act. I sometimes say things I ought not say and think things I ought not think while I'm in church. But here's the good news, child of God. That optometrist won't just leave me like that. She then puts her hands back on that thing and starts making me some adjustments to that thing. How's your left eye looking now? How's your right eye now? Tell me what you see. And she keeps on touching that thing until I can read lines 2, 3, and 4. And may I please tell you that that's exactly what the Lord Jesus does in our lives. He knows we ain't too good right now. He knows we don't do everything we're supposed to do right now. But if we'll be honest with him, when we show up at Alfred Street, he'll touch us again and let us know that everything's gonna be all right. I'm going to my seat, but is there anybody in church today who needs the Lord to touch you again? Is there anybody in this building who needs another touch from the Lord? So, man of God, as you celebrate 10 years, I'm so excited about your future. But when you get up here next weekend, open up your mouth and let the Lord touch us again. When you get up here next weekend, give us another word that'll turn our lives around. And somebody ought to testify now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Somebody shout yes! Shout yes! Give God glory, because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard all that God has in store for the Alfred Street Church. In Jesus' name, amen. Anybody ready to make progress? Anybody ready to go to the next level? Anybody ready to make some progress? Let's go forward in the name of the Lord.